show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. Never found anyone who fulfilled my need. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Welcome, welcome to Bring Back the Family, Focus on the Youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host for Bring Back the Family. I am so happy and excited that you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Focus on the Youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay, we're going to start out with scripture and prayer, acknowledging God's word. And I'm first introduce our hosts. And our hosts are Jacqueline Vandegrift, Rebecca Johnson, Callie Pierce, our young and adult hosts, Jacob Ritron and Shania Cox, and our brilliant Wrap It Up host, Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall, pastoral from Running for Christ Ministries, and his biblical perspective to what does God say about all of his word, about his word, of all of what we say and applies it to his word. Amen? Okay. All right, so we're going to have our scripture reading by Ms. Vandegrift.
Well, hello, everybody. Excuse me. Hello, a fellow hostess and Pastor O and hosts. I thank you all and our audience. I thank you for having me today, and I'm going to start right off with the prayer. A living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of all the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have any part, and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline Vandegrift. You know, I love those scriptures. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Dear Lord, our Lord, we are grateful that you thought of each of us and sent Jesus to save us. We're so grateful that we serve a loving, compassionate, faithful, forgiving God that hears and listens and answers and is able and who is bigger than all our problems. We thank you for all the work you have already done and for lessons learned and for answered prayers. We thank you for going ahead of us to make this new day, for breath and strength, and this moment to talk to you. We thank you for access to your throne to come and make new requests when we have already received so much. Thank you for your goodness and for victories over spiritual wickedness in high places. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short every day. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for each person listening or participating to Bring Back the Family tonight. We ask for strength in tough times. We ask that you bless and keep and comfort and deliver every person that is lost, and especially the youth that are being raised by the lost. We pray that you keep them safe from the enemy's schemes and cover them with the blood of Jesus. We ask that you send the perfect worker across the path of the parents and the children to give them a new understanding of you. We ask that you turn all our struggles into testimony. We ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. Thank you, Sister Jacqueline. Appreciate you guys. Okay. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. I feel like chanting that. Bring back the family. We need the family. So the bring back the family is a call for us to wake up, to get engaged, make a difference. It's time for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible and who is willing to take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? Okay. What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we ready to get busy with the challenges and the changes and the support and sacrifices meeting our youth and people just right where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who's willing? Who is going to be in charge of the next generation, passing that torch, running the race, doing great things because we prepared our children, our youth, the next generation, we prepared them to do so. We can do it. Our parents did it. They did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance or a burden to the community and people around us all around the world. Okay? They did it for us. They gave us something to be proud of, something to look back on, a good look. Okay? So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this beautiful world, okay? And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation, as parents and community, comes from me and you, okay? Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them. Okay, so what is it that we propose? Bring Back the Family propose that we do this block by block. Do something on your block for the youth, okay? For the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it, okay? It's just simply giving back, giving more than what we had. Because it's a different day and time, a different generational mindset. So we have to learn our youth. You know, we have to find out what's on their minds, find out what their needs are. and how we're going to get them to the next chapter of their life so that they can have good, productive lives like we did. And that comes from just we have to meet them where they are. Meet them at where they are and give them what it is that they need, not what we need, what they need. It's their turn to go the route that we went, you know. And we want them to have a better route than we had. Okay? So block by block, do something on your block to share, to care, to love, to be a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. Okay? Books, books, books. Can't get enough of books. We have to get our youth back to reading so that they know how to read. You can't go too far if you don't know how to read, okay? So workbooks, outings, field trips, you know, and then just activities. We talked about, you know, our children being well-rounded and how they get well-rounded. So being well-rounded helps you to be able to, what it is you're being involved in different activities, volunteering, being good neighbors, being good people, and just, you know, just being helpful, and just different activities, you know. You got your football, your basketball, you got your volleyball, you got the kids clubs at school. They could be a part of their class presidency. They could be the secretary. They could be the treasurer. And just there's so many things that they could get involved in. They could take extracurricular classes so that they could be ahead. They have that second college school within the school where you could go and get credit and graduate with an associate's degree. There's so many things out here that can help them to be well-rounded. They could take Spanish classes. They could take a debate class. Just do different things other than what your regular curriculum is having you to do, teaching you to do. And it helps you to be well-rounded. So if you learn a different language, the languages could take you places, okay? They could take you places and make you more profitable, okay? So bring back the family. And our kids are on spring break. And what are we going to do for them at this time? There's a lot going on in the world concerning our youth. And in order to keep them from getting caught up in the streets and, you know, what can we do to keep them safe and productive at the same time? Okay? We had quality family time in our time, okay? What are we doing to help them to be successful, having a vision of their own to look forward to? You know, we have to give them a vision. We have to talk about what you're going to do, what you're going to do in your life. We just can't keep letting them wander and figure this thing out by themselves. How are we going to keep them informed? How are we going to talk to them about, you know, inform them about college, being prepared, whatever it is that they want to do? Because we all know that we all know that they have to be taken care of. We all know that they have to be able to take care of themselves at one time in their life. When it comes to time, they're going to have to take care of themselves. They have to be able to pay bills, have their own home, have their own car, have their own, you know, their own sense of life that they're going to have to live, okay? But we have to prepare them for that. And then we're going to do the update on our 100 scholarships. As I talk to my co-host and, you know, they're all doing some things for the youth. And when I talk to them and just listen to what it is that they're doing, as far as these scholarships and trying to push these young people in the right direction, and I already know it's a lot of work, you know. And I see the work that they are doing. And as far as trying to go to college and being prepared for college. It is a lot of work. It is not just that you can just graduate from high school and think that, you know, you're just going to go to college, you know. Because after you get to the point where it's time to go, you wonder, well, okay, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay for this? You know, you start asking those questions after you get, you know, after you graduate from high school and you become 18 and you become an adult, as they, you know, say that we're adults at 18. And so you start to asking yourself these questions. How is this going to get done? Okay, how is it going to get paid for? What am I supposed to do? I remember asking myself those questions and just, you know, being lost. And I knew that I was supposed to go to school and get some kind of, you know, educational background behind me, further my education, but really just didn't know what to do. So I started out in the community college, you know, and would take classes and then stop and go and stop and go, you know. And I see how Miss Jackie and Miss Rebecca and all the people that we work with, how they are really pushing, you know. It's like a big push to get these kids and keep them focused on what it is that they're supposed to do. And so filling out these scholarships and making sure that they can write and get these scholarships, it's a lot of work. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's not really my forte. I could take you to activities. I could, you know, I can do a lot of things for them. I have the patience for the kids. But, you know, when it comes to that paperwork, that's not my area. And so, but I see all the work that goes into it, and it's a lot of work. No wonder these kids are lost. No wonder they don't have what they need once they're out of high school. It's just too much. It's too much. And so if it's too much for them, it's too much for us, it's too much for the parents, and they, you know, we don't have that patience to do the research to find out what it is. And, you know, life is not easy. They don't make it easy for us to get what it is that we need, okay? And so I'm learning with Miss Jackie, Miss Rebecca, Miss Keela. I'm learning with everybody, the book club, Miss Latham. I'm learning with everybody that I'm working with that while we're doing, you know, the different parts that we do and that we're good at and that God blessed us with, then we're teaching each other, and we're seeing what these kids need. Jackie and Rebecca, hey, jump in anytime. You know, it's spring break, and so the kids are going to be out for a whole week. So what plans do you have for them? What are they going to do? You know, it's so much going on in the world today and in the streets. It's just, you know, it's just a lot going on. And you listen to the news, and I'm sure you all have heard everything that I've heard when it comes to the kids. It's like the kids are not being able to live their lives. They're not being able to live their lives productively because someone is, you know, taking them out or ending their lives. And we're seeing a lot of babies that are are being harmed. Where does that come from? By these young men, the harming these babies. And it's just a lot of abuse. And it's like, okay, what do we need to do? And this is the reason these things are happening. A lot of these young fellas and people that do these crimes, there's just something happened in their life. But if we don't reach out to these kids, these young folks, and try to help them find their way. You know, somebody in the streets are helping them find their way. And they're helping them find their way to crime. selling cars, you know, selling drugs, whatever it is that they want them to do at that time. And they have so much to offer them, but what are we offering them? What are we offering them? So it's time for us to, you know, they say pull your own bootstraps up and then try to pull somebody else up as well. We have to pay these kids attention or else we will be victims of not helping. We will be victims. So many people have been victims. So many. It's just a lot going on. And I'm hearing so many weird, different things that's going on in the world that you never thought that you would ever hear. And, you know, it's very disturbing. And so it's really time for us to pay attention to our youth. Pay attention to our kids. Pay attention to what it is that they need. They know, we know that they need to be able to take care of themselves because we're working and taking care of ourselves. So who's going to take care of them? Okay? They need a way. We need to show them the way. We do. So what are they going to do all week long? What do you have any plans for them? Your church is open. On Sundays, grab one of them up and take them to church. You know, that'd be a blessing to you, okay? So if a whole week they'll be out. You could utilize the Science Center. It's so many things. They have big glasses. Miss Jackie gave me really helpful. it's quite a few Easter egg hunts going on all over the city for Easter. There's one going on my street. It's called Essence of Love Easter Egg Hunt. And this family, a husband and wife, they do this every year for the kids on our street. And it's Easter egg hunt. It says over 1,000 eggs to find, and all ages are welcome. And it's going to be Sunday, March the 31st. 3525 South Annabelle Street, 4 p.m. Yes, and they have all kind of goodies in those eggs, and it's just not candy. It'd be cash money. And they have, like they said, it's for all ages, and they do this every year for the kids. You know, they're giving back. And so, you know, I like that. And so... That's Sunday, March 31st, 31st at 4 o'clock p.m. on a Sunday on Annabelle Street. You want to be able to miss it. They have it all decorated, and they really, you know, give the kids that opportunity to, you know, get some cash and some treats and toys and different things like that. It's really fun, and, you know, God will bless them for that. Okay. Okay, I'm not going to be the only one talking to Jackie and Miss Rebecca.
Oh, boy.
Let me see. I'm sorry. Well, we got Miss Jackie. Okay.
My phone was muted, so.
I'm sorry. Yeah, something like you was asking about the static. It was a lot of static at that time, so I just muted it for that moment. Okay.
Right.
Go for it.
With Becky. Mm-hmm. Checking my phone. But you know what? Now, we were talking and we've been talking for a while regarding the 100 scholarship, applying for 100 scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
When we came up with the idea at the time, we did not know how time-consuming it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing is, and parents, I want the grandparents and parents, I want you to listen to me good. Our children that are graduating, when you remember when they first went to preschool and mamas, you cried and they cried because they had to detach from you? That was a level in life that they had graduated to. So as they finish elementary and middle school, there's a graduation of a different level. Now when they're coming out of high school,
your young people are starting to walk into a level of adulthood, and now what's happening, they're lost.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to talk to them as an adult, because now they think they know everything, and they want to try things out for themselves, and you're trying to be the pillow to, so they won't fall so hard. Well, it comes with what they call readiness. College is having readiness, and that
mm-hmm.
starts your journey, and it has to start early. Your children, as we found out, can apply for, when they first get into the ninth grade, if they apply for one scholarship each month, now you're talking about 4 years, four times 12, that's 48 scholarships. If they apply for one scholarship a month, they will be ahead of the curve. But now, even though you are planning for college readiness, think you have a full plan put in place, and a hiccup comes in. We're going to call it a hiccup. Other people call it other things, but it's an energy force that is not, it will change your whole life. And that can be from a loss of a computer that has all your information on it, or a loss of a phone that has all your information on it. It could be many things. But
mm-hmm.
we have to be patient enough to pull, when these hiccups happen, to pull the bootstraps up and keep on pushing. Now, one of the things as we search and going through different things, people start sharing knowledge with you, things that you didn't even know about. Like, for instance, if somebody going through a hardship, there's a place called Crossroads. And I had heard about this, what? 13 years ago, but now, you know, if you don't need something, it goes in your head and it goes on the shelf, right, in your brain. Somebody brought it back up to me. And I said I was going to call them. They own West Grand Boulevard, agency that helps out with a lot of things, okay? But now,
mm-hmm.
mother, if you know you are going through a hardship, you're trying to change some things. So the State Department of Health and Human Services has program money they're giving out to help with these hardships. Now, let me read something here. It says, service description, provide college tuition for youth who have or have had Medicaid coverage for 24 months within a 36 consecutive month period, beginning with the period prior to the youth's 12th birthday, ending at high school graduation. TIP pays in two phases. Phase one, it'll pay tuition for up to 80 credits hours at a community college. Well, you need 60 credits at a community college to have an associate's degree. So they're saying that they will pay for your child to go to a community college free. Well, you know what? If you don't have money, that's better than nothing, because what that child can do is start preparing to qualify for scholarships to take them to a four-year program by keeping their grades up. You're putting the responsibility back on them. And it says they work towards an associate's degree. Phase two, extra $2,000 toward tuition at a university to work towards a bachelor's degree. Now, if you get $500 here, $1,000 here, $2,000 here, plus a grant, what is that, Pell Grant, that money adds up. So let's not just look at the big picture for the large numbers. Let's look at the small scholarships also. Now, preparing your child to start this journey, extracurricular profile development. Now, everybody can't be a basketball player or a football player. But there's your e-sports, there's your golf, there's your tennis, there's ice skating, there's swimming, there's music, there's art. Now, Miss Kathy has been begging people, get your kids ready to go for the golf training. That opens up a different arena for them. Engagement, writing, essay, looking for essay contests. They have them all. You can Google them and write an essay. Virtual or in-person boot camps, enrichment programs, internship, volunteering. Now, also your profile development. Remember we talked about Udemy courses? That hasn't surfaced in a long time. Been over a year, I believe, Miss Kathy. Those certifications can help you cut the cost of certain college courses because you already have a certificate in that. So that cuts down on the courses that you need to take. So in preparedness, and it's been a whirlwind, but God has everything in control. So we just have to put action to what we're asking God for. We can't, because time moves fast. We can't sit there and watch TV all day and let the office that we need to call close, because you're not going to get anything done. And before you know it, it'll be time for your child to be in college. And guess what? I don't care how a young adult they want to be, when it comes time to something and they're going to look at you with those round eyeballs and say, I need. And that's the worst thing for you, to be in a position that you cannot help them, when all you have to do is, even if you don't have the finances, God made a way for you to do the work to get it free. So let's pull our bootstraps together. And when it doesn't work in one corner of, that's why a box has four corners. If one corner is thin, getting thin, you can go to another corner and keep warm. Okay? So all I'm saying to each one of you, the journey is not easy. It has been hard, but it has educated me to help be able to prepare to help the next child. And that's something that we are working towards, helping these get across, but helping pulling up the next child that has to. Starting, getting them started on a plan, getting them set up for, we're going to select some kids to get them set up for, to start saving for a college plan, okay? And there are resources, and there are people out there that I know that can set them up and what we want to do. But we have to have a commitment, even though we go out and we try to do all these things. Parents, if you don't take the initiative to know how important it is, no matter what somebody do for you or your child, it won't work without your cooperation. And sometimes it's just as simple as being on time, knowing that there's a deadline for this scholarship, sign the papers, because don't get mad because the child didn't clean his room and say, I'm not signing the papers. You're hurting your child. I'm not letting my child go for these extracurricular activities, or these correct activities to get your child a scholarship. You're making them lazy. You're making them be quitters because they start following your pattern. You're going to the golf course class, the tennis class, the e-sports class, the ice skating, the swimming, and you're still going to clean your room. It's simple as that. But stop using chores as a punishment to block your child from growing and to expanding their life. Because guess what? They'll be 18 before you know it. And you, if you don't have a strong impact with, you will lose them. And there's somebody out there in the street that's more clever than you and can try to make them think the other side of the road is a little bit more sharper and a little bit more smoother. And then we want to know how our children got in trouble. A lot of that trouble started because we as parents have what they call a low EQ. That means that they allow their emotions to take control. Now, we want to look at what, when we sin it, when we allow ourselves to be that selfish as parents and to hurt these young people, knowing what they are going up against. And if they don't have some kind of skill and training and education, they're going to be in trouble. But there's not going to be any jobs available for them. That's all I have to say, Ms. Kathy, because time can get away, and we're coming up on an hour. And I know Ms. Rebecca, I always like to hear what she has to say because I'm getting my notepads ready so I can take some notes and so we can get started. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you,
Jacqueline. I always love to listen to what you're saying. I am very excited to hear you say apply for one scholarship each month, because these things are processes that take time, and it might take you 4 years to get all the scholarships you need to go where you want to go to school, if you want to go to school. So that's the other thing I want to reiterate. The two businesses that you can start, and you can go to and run the business. At the same time, the business is another slow process. It's a repetition of the same process over and over, and building on it and tweaking it. So you can start a newsletter. You choose a topic that you love to talk about, something that you could talk about for every day for 1 year, and then plan to talk about it after the 1 year once a week after that. And in a year's time, with enough articles and after you've collected so many email addresses and you have people looking forward to what you're writing about, then you can insert ads in your newsletter and start to make money just talking about what you love to talk about. Or you can do a theme page. And before, when I mentioned the theme page, I forgot to tell how my brother met a man who had a theme page about cars. and all he did was post every single day pictures of cars that he liked. And after a while, I forgot the astronomical number of followers he had, but it was paying his way because dealerships wanted to pay him money to put their ads on his page. And they were paying in the thousands. So those are two businesses that start slow, and you just have to keep at it, but it's cheap. And after time and consistency, you can make money. And the other thing I have is 15 life skills that kids need before leaving home. And then I have a list of scholarships that are unusual that you can apply for. So here are the 15 life skills kids need before leaving home. Number one, how to manage money. Number two, how to cook. Number three, how to be a self-starter. Number four, how to talk to strangers. Number five, how to manage time. Number six, how to stand up for yourself. Number seven, how to cope with failure. And I think it's about attitude. We want to highlight our failures for the youth so that they can know that it's unavoidable. Everyone fails. Failure is learning. And then they can be more open to sharing their failures. Number eight, how to find a job. And finding a job is a job, but it's a good skill to have. Number nine, how to do laundry. Number 10, how to be organized. Number 11, how to clean a home. Number 12, how to spend wisely. Number 13, how to drive safely. Number 14, how to swim. And number 15, how to use a map. I watched a movie, and it was an apocalyptic, end times horror type film. But the bottom line was that the enemy had taken out all the satellites, and people's phones didn't work, their TVs didn't work, and nobody knew how to get anywhere. And that would have been me, because I am totally dependent on GPS. I used to keep paper maps in my car, but I don't do it anymore. And if the phones and everything went out, I might get lost. But in any case, it's a good skill to have. Learn how to use a map. And those are the 15 things. Okay, so let me move on to the scholarships. There's some really strange ones. And the first one is the Superpower Scholarship. And the deadline is March 31st this year. It's available to students 14 and up. The amount is $2,500. And the challenge is to answer this question. Which superhero or villain would you like to trade places with for one day, and why? And in 250 words or less, they want to hear about how you would answer that question. And you could win what's called the Superpower Scholarship. Next one, National Black Nurses Association Scholarship. The deadline is April the 15th, and it's available to black women pursuing a nursing degree in the U.S., and they need to be NBNA members, and other qualifications apply. But this one is from $1,000 to $15,000. and you need to visit the National Black Nurses Association Scholarships page for more info. Then we have the Alzheimer's Awareness College Scholarship, and the deadline is April 1st, so it's almost here. It's available to high school seniors. The amount is from $500 to $5,000, and they want you to share your experiences with Alzheimer's in an essay. So it looks like half of these scholarships require an essay. Well, all of the ones that I'm listing require, but I think there's plenty that don't require. But in any case, writing is a skill you're going to need to have just to apply for these scholarships. So that skill is already in play when you're starting to look for funding to go to school. The next one is an Association of Moving Image Archivists from Sony Pictures. And the deadline is May 1st. It's open to graduate level students, so you have to already be in school with at least a 3.0 GPA. And the amount is $4,000. And you need to explain your major field of study, your interest in archiving moving images, your relevant experience and or education, and your career goals in under 1,000 words. All right, here's a very strange one. It's called Stuck at Prom Scholarship, and the deadline is June the 7th. And the students, 14 years old and up are eligible to apply. The amount is $10,000. In the dress category and in the tux category, $500. And what they want you to do is make a gown or a tux out of duct tape. And you must submit at least one photo showing you wearing your prom creation, and you maybe could win $10,000 for this duct tape dress or tux. Okay, the next one is Flavor of the Month Scholarship. And the deadline is July 31st this year. It's open to students 14 and up. The amount is $1,500. And in honor of National Ice Cream Month, explain what your favorite ice cream flavor is and why, along with if you were a flavor of ice cream, which would you be? And so these charges... Lots of writing opportunities. I don't know if we have time, but I have five more. Let's see.
Go for it.
Tylenol, the Tylenol Future Care Scholarship, the deadline is August 1st. It's available to undergraduate and graduate students pursuing healthcare careers. The amount is $10,000 for 10 people and $5,000 for 25. And it awards students who display academic excellence, exemplary leadership, community involvement, and dedication to a future career in healthcare. I didn't hear anything about an essay on that one. Next one is Clubs of America Scholarship. And it's, the deadline is 31st. It's available to undergraduate students with at least a 3.0 GPA, and the amount is $1,000, and they want you to write a 600-word essay about your professional aspirations and describe how your education will help you get there. If your submission is chosen, you can win the Clubs of America Scholarship. Okay, next one, Shout It Out Scholarship. The deadline is September 30th. It's available to students 13 and up. The amount is $1,500, and they want you to write 250 words or less about what you would say if you could speak to the whole world at once. All right, the next one is the James Allen Cox Foundation for Student Photojournalists. The deadline is November the 15th. It's available to college, technical, or graduate students. The amount is $2,500, and you need to create a video or a still photo that tells a story about breaking news or sporting events, etc. You need to submit an essay with two letters of recommendation and your transcript. And the last one I have is called Imagine America Foundation Scholarship, and the deadline is December 31st. It's available to prospective college students over the age of 19. The amount is about $1,000. And this is an adult skills education program. It's a scholarship intended to help students who didn't enter college immediately after high school or who wish to re-enter college. So they'll make you watch a financial planning tutorial and take a quiz in order to apply. So there's a scholarship for everything, left-handed people, right-handed people, short people. And, yeah, you could apply for one a month for sure, but you probably could do better than that and do four or five a month.
Yeah, if no one's applying for them, you know, they'll probably get them.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, man, that's some good information. Very good, very good. I think that one of the visions is that we'll have like a writing scholarship time that we have, you know, set aside and make that one of our programs to have a scholarship writing room. Yeah.
That would be good. That's a good skill to have.
That'll get them ready and know what they really have to do. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's like writing for money.
It's exactly like writing for money.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, the people on the street, they say, we'll work for food, you know. And they'll get a lot of money out there, you know, asking for a dollar, whatever. But this is something that you could just write and ask people for money. You're writing and helping your skills and all of that. So, they just have money to give away.
You say that, but I remember back years ago when that was before Jake lost his mom. He used to do that. He used to write essays. He would go and look them up and apply for them. And sometimes he would be the only one that applied for it.
Right.
And
he would
win this money. And people were wondering, where is this kid getting all this money from? But he was sitting in front of that computer searching for writing what he could write about. And same thing like Miss Rebecca was saying, some of the most weirdest things. And he would let his imagination run wild. And I'm going to tell you something. The child got paid a lot of money just writing scholarships. Until people told him that's not a real job. So we gotta stop trying to cut our kids' hands off despite their faith, because they need to use these hands to eat with, comb their hair with, and all this kind of stuff. That's just a metaphor. But what you're saying is 100% right, and we need to learn that skill. And you're never too old. If you don't know how to write, then it's time to take some classes, and you can Google everything. You can Google it and YouTube it, and it will teach you what you need to do, and you can put it into your own words, and you can submit it and just see how the Lord is going to bless you with something.
Yeah. That's a full-time job. Hey.
It's a full-time job. It is a full-time job.
That's a good idea.
That's right. Because but the thing about it is they have all kind of right. They have people that do ghostwriting. I remember we were just about to set up before, you know, that ugly COVID came in. We was about to set up ghostwriting, you know, as a business for you. And, you know, so sometimes, you know, like these hiccups get in there. The only mistake is that when you don't have more than yourself knowing the, what we call it, the roadmap or the blueprint, you got to share some of this knowledge with other people so they will know how to step in if you're not able to do it, to step in. And all the ones that stepped in and was, I mean, you would imagine the ones that stepped in through people like Miss Kathy to help him, Pastor O, and probably, Sister Rebecca, you know, she has a way of communicating with young kids where they feel comfortable around
Jacob got in on the script, Miss Jackie. Jacob got in on the scripture. What do we call it? The scripture fund with Miss Rebecca, where she gives them a scripture. She gives them a scripture on Sunday in church, and they have to say the scripture, and she gives them real dollars.
But you know, they have to memorize real dollars. Jacob was gonna be in on it. But even, and not only that, look at Miss Keeler's sons. When he, if it's an emergency, they drop what they have to do to go make sure he get home safe. You know, all the ministers help just the community to come in and help this push this child to greatness. And, you know, and like my older sister said to her grandson, even though, you know, he had a full ride, both rides to college, she said, don't forget the bridge that took you across.
All right, now. That's right.
Because you did not get there by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have to reach back and help pull somebody else up.
Yeah, I love that because it reminds me of community of how we used to have it, how everybody helped each other then, and it reminds me of that, you know. And you know, it's gonna come back. It's gonna come back. That family dynamic is gonna come back. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. It's coming back, let me see. Beautiful conversation, beautiful. Let me see. But, hey, that's it. We're going to call our good old awesome pastor. I just want to say, you know, one thing about, you know, they're reporting that a lot of jobs are being lost right now. And we have to wonder why. You know, really wonder why they're saying because of COVID and all of that, they don't need as many, you know, they don't have all those offices and big buildings and all the people in these offices now. So they don't need a lot of people no more. But I know when we were talking about AI, I heard on the news the other day where they were talking about the jobs that AI is going to replace. And some of the jobs were, they were going to replace them. Yeah, they're going to be replaced with AI. But they were talking about the job that's going to be making the six figures, and AI is going to be really, really, you know, on the forefront of all, of our time, and or the next generation time, but it's here now. And so machine learning engineer researchers design and people that build AI models and systems, those are, let me see, the jobs that's gonna, that AI is going to be important, that's making six figures. Data scientist, ML engineer, business intelligence engineer, data engineer, AI software engineer, data analyst manager, robotics and AI engineer, prompt research engineer, and like machinists, you know, mostly engineers and scientists and things like that. So they said those are six-figure positions, six-figure jobs that's coming up, consultants, a robotics engineer, designer and development and research scientist, and all those are going to be ran by AI. Machine learning engineer researches design and build AI models and systems.
Mm-hmm.
Product managers, the AI project managers oversee the development of AI powered products and services. Natural language processing engineer explores the connection between human language and computational systems. So AI is a big deal. He said these are six-figure positions to start. And even like Ms. Jackie was talking about those, what was those, what are they called? The what were they called, Ms. Jackie? The
what, the certification?
You know, the certifications, yeah. They said, you know, to take some of those certifications because those are very important when it comes to AI. So, yeah, we kind of on point with a lot of this information. And so I heard that on the news the other day, and I was like, wow, it's here. You know, it's here. So, yeah. And Ms. Rebecca, with that scholarship, I think I'm going to try to find that and find that and let them know that I would be chocolate ice cream if it, you know, it was a favorite flavor. I would rather be chocolate. Because chocolate is delicious. It's
yes,
colorful.
It is.
Yes, it's colorful. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel good when you taste it. You know, the ice cream, chocolate ice cream, you know. It does a lot of things. It's yummy for your tummy. Uh-huh. And I just like the real pretty color of chocolate. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about that chocolate. So I'm going to find that scholarship and try to win those few dollars. Yeah. Okay.
The flavor of the month, scholarship.
I like the way that sounds. So just keep on, you know, supporting our youth that's in college. Keep supporting and encouraging our young people to do better, to do their best, to be, you know, to be winners and to get good grades and read books. And, you know, let's encourage them and push them towards, you know, AI and doing certifications. Anything that we could offer to them, let's give it to them, okay? I don't want to say too much. We got a lot, you know, that we could talk about, and I'm going to save some for the next time. Okay, so we're going to bring on Pastor O so we can go ahead and, you know, do something, you know, get going. And like I said, it's spring break, and kids are out of school. And so keep them busy so that they won't be out on the streets, you know, getting in trouble, running to the wrong crowd, and, you know, somebody on the street teaching them some things that you don't want them to be taught. So keep them close to you. Give them some books to read. Give them something to do this week while they're out of school. Don't just let them go. and be off by themselves somewhere, because it's a lot of wickedness going on out there. I want to say something about guns. You know, our young folk, they're getting a hold of these guns. And, you know, if they really know what it really does for them, you know, I call it one and done. Because once you get a gun, if you get caught with it, it ruins your life. If you hurt someone with it, it ruins your life. So that's the only time you're going to use that gun, that one time. Most of them just that one time. One and done. And so you take your whole life and destroy it over a gun that's going to hurt somebody or take a person out, you know. One and done. It's over. Okay? Hey, Pastor O. Did we make
Yeah, maybe I unmute. How you doing today?
Wonderful. How are you?
Oh, good. Good to hear you and Rebecca and, you know, all this awesome stuff that's going on. And early this morning, I think about 8 o'clock, I asked the Lord, what are you going to say tonight? You know, and, of course, I always want to know, but I'm supposed to listen and then hear. And once I hear, then I know what he want to say. I don't know why we have to work like that. I guess it's called faith, right? Trust in God.
Yeah,
but it was what I heard Jackie when she was reaching out to the people to reinvolve, to reinvest themselves in their children. It's like we have moved away from that, from making that investment. We'll do anything but make that investment. We'll farm it out to other people. Let them do it, or just hope it happened automatically. But it's not. And you know, a lot of the reason I was talking with the Lord earlier today when I did find out what was going on, and he came to me with one verse, and that's right out of John chapter 15 and verse 4. This is where Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. And there is so much in this conversation, in that one verse, because he has literally said a mouthful. And it covers every area of your life. It covers your personal life, and most importantly, your family life. It covers your church life, and it covers your civic life. That is the whole of our life. That is it. Those four areas cover our entire life. Everything is wrapped up in that. Okay? And so this verse literally addresses everything we can or can't do. And there's a way that we can, and there's a reason that we can't. It says, remain in me. That's number one. Remain in me. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. So right there, that means we have to intentionally stay with Jesus. And when he talks about remain in me, he's talking about remaining in his word, remaining in his teaching, remaining how he told us to live, remaining to do things, continuing to do things the way he told us to do them, taught us to do them, the way his word says we should do those things. Remain in me. Okay? Because he's definitely going to remain in us. We know he said in his word in Matthew 28, right? He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. I am with you always, even until the very end of the age. And we know from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, he's talking about the end of the church age. That's when the rapture happens. That's when Jesus comes back, stops in the sky, snatch the church up from the earth, and we remain in heaven with him for 7 years. He's going to remain with us. He's going to stay with us. Amen. As he's been with us since we gave our lives to him, he will stay with us right up until the rapture comes. Then we will meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll never be separated again. But right now, we have a part to play. He says, remain in me. And I think that's a huge part of the problem that we have in the family today. God gave us a clear demonstration of what family was supposed to be in the book of Genesis. He gave us a man. He was single, so single men are under God. He gave us a woman. She was single. Single women are under God. That's where they start. That's where they start. So what that means, if we're going to remain in him, then we can't start with somebody that's not in him, and he's not in them. That's another problem that we have today, becoming unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. That is not remaining in him, and, man, you're going to have a serious, be operating on, with a serious deficit trying to get him to remain in you. He can't remain in you if you don't remain in him. He's not going to start doing what we say. He's only going to do what he said, because the Bible is written. There's nothing new to say. Okay, it's written from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Nothing's going to be added to that. So we have to now. What is my point? Family. Jesus says no branch can bear fruit by itself. So we have to remain in him. He's going to remain in us. And the reason is because we can't bear fruit by ourselves. No branch separated from the tree laying on the ground can produce an apple. No branch separated from the tree laying on the ground can produce a peach, a pear, or any other fruit. The only way it can do that is that it's connected to the tree, to the vine, because it receives its nourishment from the vine. Sometimes we have to get rid of people around us so that we can remain in him, because he's going to remain in us. And if we want to be fruitful and produce, you know, over the winter, I used to work for a company called Chemline. It's simply out of business now, so I can say the name. Over the winter, I got a chance to work with, because we did weed control and fertilizer, and over the winter, it's hard to get people to want weed control and fertilizer in the winter. So over the winter, what we would do is, it was a department in the building called Trees and Shrubs. And you could go out and work with them to gain some experience and get out of the office. So one day I went out with a guy named Ishmael, and we went over to Gross Hill, and we were going to be pruning some trees. You're like, well, it's winter, so no leaves on the trees. What exactly are you doing? Well, that is the best time to prune a tree. Why? Because there's two branches you don't want, called a crosser. It prevents other branches from growing. And one is called a sucker. It's not producing anything, but it's drawing up nutrients. And when you remove the crossers, you remove the suckers, the tree produces even more fruit. Okay? So Jesus wants us to remain in him. And that, look, that He's going to remain in you. You don't have to worry about that. The Holy Spirit will never jump out of you. But will you always follow the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding? In the very next chapter, he says when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He will not guide you over here for some truth that's not true. He won't guide you over there for some truth that's not true. He is going to guide you in the already revealed word of God, that truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Or you could say it like this, I am the way that leads to the truth, that leads to eternal life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we have to remain in him. That is something we have to do. Somebody's going to get mad right now. Parents. Right, guardians of raise whoever it is raising these children, right? Remain in me. You're not remaining in him if you're a regular Bible class skipper. You're not remaining in him if you are a regular Sunday skipper. You graduated. You don't even take your kids no more. You're not remaining in him. I don't know where you're going to read in the Bible where Jesus changed what he said about how we should raise kids, Old or New Testament. It's always the same. Train them up in the way they should go. When they get old, then they can walk with me on their own. Teach them how to reverence me and to live according to my word, Ephesians 6, right? And so he hasn't changed that. So if you're remaining in him, that means there should be Bible study going. I know this sounds strange. I know nobody was, I ain't got time. We need Bible study at home. Look, your pastor is not coming to your house to teach no Bible class. You get to hear from your pastor maybe once, twice a week. But there's 168 hours in a week. You might get to hear your pastor for an hour. So you're going to have to take what you got in church and take it home and bring it up in the house if you're going to remain in him. And what that means is remaining in his word. Whenever we remember what the men over in Luke chapter 6, they was building houses, right? And one man built his house right on top of the sand. That's the easiest thing to do. There you go. I'm done. The other guy over here, he's not even finished digging the hole yet. And the man said, why are you digging that hole so deep? He said, I'm looking for a solid foundation. And so Jesus says he dug down deep. And when he found that rock, he built his house on top of that rock. And guess what? It did not prevent the storms of life from coming. And the storms of life rolled in and tore down his neighbor's house. But his house stood. Why? It was built on the rock. Are we talking about a rock? No, we're talking about building it on God's word. That is why families are all cracked up today. They have not built their families on the solid foundation, which is God's word, God's way of doing relationships. We don't even get married no more. We're just throwing that out. We call that it's just a piece of paper. No, a marriage is a becoming of one between two people. That's what God said. But now we're creating all kinds of families. And the devil, he's just having a field day. Why? Excuse me. All these families are built on the sand. They have no foundation. The foundation is God's way of doing family. Anything else is not. That's not to say that when somebody recognizes they off the foundation and they redig, okay, and plant the rest of their life on that foundation. Now, God can work with that just like, okay, y'all know Jesus' father died and Mary became a single parent. But she didn't trip out. She didn't turn out. She raised, Jesus had four brothers. It was five boys. She raised all of them. And he had sisters. Raised all of them. Why? Because even though her husband died, she continued to remain in the Lord. And she successfully raised Jesus, his four brothers, and his sisters. When we move away from the way God told us how to do something, we sink like Peter. When we start walking on the water, we going down the aisle, we love the Lord, we get married in the church, we're going to do everything the Lord say. 2 weeks later, we're getting a divorce. We had five kids before we got married. We're not doing things God's way. Listen, here's the problem with that. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Outside of Christ, you can't do nothing. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. How are you going to have a fruitful family outside of Christ? And when I say outside of Christ, I'm talking about not according to his word. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks in verse 21, it says, out of reverence for Jesus Christ, submit to one another. Who? A husband and a wife. It's literally called instructions for family, for spiritual families. There's families all over the earth, but they're not all spiritual. And so why are we failing like we are? Why are our families so tore up today? Because we're not doing it God's way. And guess what? The devil is the wind and the rain that comes to test what you've built. And if what you've built is founded on God's word, that means you're doing relationships God's way. You're doing family God's way. Well, when the devil comes, he'll be like that old wolf in the three pigs story. He done ran up on the brick house. He going to end up with COPD trying to blow this house down. Why? Because this house is made out of brick. This ain't wood. This ain't straw. This is brick. You can blow till your lungs pop out your mouth. You're not blowing this house down. But because we building houses made out of straw, because we building houses made out of wood, well, when the devil sees that, you might as well go to Acts chapter 19 and read about the seven sons of Sceva and see how they fared not being in Jesus up against the devil. He's the wind. He's the rain. Now, if Jesus is in your boat and you done got caught up in the wind and the rain, you can always go to him and tell him about your problems. He might ask you why you are outside of him, why your faith is so misguided. But he will say, peace be still, give you another chance to get it right. Doesn't matter how we messed it up. It doesn't matter how, if we could be like the prodigal son, we could be all the way off in a far country as it relates to us living and doing things according to God's word. We could be listening to me right now and say, I think he's talking about me. I think I'm pretty sure I'm on the sand in my house sliding as we speak. But guess what? When the prodigal son came to his senses, he said, I'm going back to my father's house. So when we decide to go back to the vine and reattach ourselves, because you read Romans chapter 11, Jesus can graft us in. We Gentiles, we're unnatural branches anyway. We were grafted in. We ain't even the natural branches. So if Jesus can graft in unnatural branches, how much more the natural? Have you ever seen a plant taken up out of the ground and somebody says you need to get that in some water? You need to get that back into the soil? Why? Because that's where the life comes from. So if you figured out that you're a plant pulled up out the ground and you're wilting, your family falling apart, your relationship's a disaster, okay, get back into the soil, the life-giving soil. Because outside of that soil, you can't live. The soil have the nutrients that you need to live. Get back under the sun. Why? Because without the sun, photosynthesis can't take place, and your root system don't know what to do about what's on top. We can always be replanted. We uproot our, we for definitely, if you look around today, and you can tell we are uprooted. And you know, when you uproot a plant, it lives for a while, but it starts to wilt. And if you don't get it back into a life-giving source, it's just going to die. And is that why so many marriages die? Is that why so many families die? What I mean by that is they're destroyed. The devil comes to do nothing but to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, you need to get on in that brick house. And what am I talking about? Get back to God's word and find out what God has to say about how you should live your personal life and then live it that way. And when you figure out that you're not living it that way, don't fight with the Lord. Don't be like David. Yeah, he hid for, I know you're going to be like, Pastor, but David ain't say nothing for a year and a half. He waited till that man came in there in front of him. Yeah, you're right. It was about a year and a half before Nathan walked in there and told David that story about the man who had the one little sheep, and the man who had a million sheep took the one sheep and gave it to his friends. And David stood up talking about, oh, who did that? Who did that? They're going to have to give back a million sheep, and I might kill them. And then Nathan looked at David and said, "Thou art the man." And what was he talking about? David took one of his own generals' wives to be his own and killed him and sent the note to kill him in his hand. But Nathan confronted David and said, "Man, you are sure enough on the sand. You are all the way off the rock." You know what David did? He wrote Psalm 51, "Create in me, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Create in me, amen, a right spirit." He confessed his sin. Unlike his predecessor Saul, when Saul got caught twice, first Samuel told Saul, "Look, wait 7 days, we're going to do a sacrifice, see what the Lord want to do." He waited 7 days, but Samuel wasn't there, and he went on to try to do a sacrifice like he a priest. And all the rules that God made about what would happen to somebody who wasn't a priest who tried to act like one. He going to become a priest. So Samuel told him, "Look, if you had not messed this thing up, the Lord would establish your kingdom forever." Then he gave him a second chance. What gets me is in both instances, when Saul figured out the second chance, he was supposed to kill Agag and all his people. But he came up with another plan. "The king more worth to me alive than dead. And these women over here, we ain't killing these women or them kids. And the cattle, we keeping them too." So after that, he was fired. But you know, both times the Lord told him, if you had just obeyed the Lord, he would have established your kingdom forever. But he didn't. What will God do for you right now? If you say, "Okay, my family's way off. I don't have no husband. I don't have no wife. This is all messed up. Everything's messed up. All I got is this guy or this girl over here, and we ain't married." You like the woman in John chapter 4. Jesus said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I ain't got no husband." He said, "Yeah, that's right. You didn't have five, but the one you got now ain't yours." But watch what happened, though. She didn't even get offended by that. She perceived Jesus to be who she must have been waiting on, the Messiah. She said, "When Messiah come, he going to tell us everything." Jesus told her, "The one you're speaking with, I'm the Messiah." That lady took off with her rotten self. She took off, went to the middle of town who she had been hiding from coming to get water in the middle of the day. Now she done took herself in the town, and she telling these people, "Come see a man who done told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" And guess what? Mm-hmm. She evangelized that whole town. They all came out there to Jesus, and when they got through listening to Jesus, they said, "We came out here because of you." Amen. "But now that we've heard him for ourselves, we believe." She led a whole town to Christ the first day she met Jesus. How many people you done led to Jesus since you met him? So when we decide to be like that lady, to not get offended because we done been called out and told we are not on the rock. We are all the way on the sand. Our whole life is built on nonsense. But if we do like her, and just forget about all the embarrassment and all the shame, and just be glad that we know Jesus and get back on the rock. Or we can bring the family back. We're going to bring back the family. Bring back the family, bring back the family, bring back the family, bring back the family. That is what God is doing, trying to bring back the family, because that's what's got us all tore up. The devil is like, if I tear up family, I can keep the earth tore up. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're suffering the way we suffer today. So, yeah, bring back the family. Bring back the
family. Bring back the family. Bring back the family.
Save the world.
Shout it all over the world.
This is a good
shout
word.
Shout it all over the world.
You know, I wish I was doing Bring Back the Family every Sunday. Then my sermons would come just like that. I wouldn't have to work that hard. Lord have mercy.
You're going to have to preach that one. That was good.
I know. I'd be begging Jesus to let me preach all the sermons that I've preached on here. I'd be begging to preach in the church, but he says these are two different places. Just keep preaching them.
Wow. He gave you a lot.
I know, and my wife will tell you, the day has been kind of furnace out to start the morning. It was just one disaster after another all day. I was so glad when the show started, because I'm like, okay, Jesus, we won't have disasters for the next hour or so. So we'll be good. The phone kept ringing with other people's disasters. And it was just one of them kind of days.
It's rough. You're right. I think you're not the only one going through it. I think I was having one of those kind of days too.
I used to hear Jesus say, "You got to stop saying old folks because you old folks." But anyway, I used to hear old folks say, "Sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes I am like, what are you talking about? Now I know."
Yeah.
Now I know. All you got to do is wake up, and the roller coaster ride starts. It's like they let the bar down, and you headed down that first big drop early in the morning.
I'm telling you. Life is something else.
I'm telling you, I'm on the roller coaster trying to sip my coffee and spilling on me. I'm
right.
I ain't even woke yet. This is too soon. Oh, boy.
I'll be saying, okay, I ain't even going to complain.
No. Because it don't help at all, do it?
I said it's always a beginning and it's always an end. So.
There you go.
That's
I used to get so frustrated because our work was real physical and real mental. And Jesus would say, look, stop overwhelming yourself talking about you got 15, 20 stops to do. You have this one to do. Do this one.
Yeah.
And I started doing that. And that sort of made whatever stop I was at, I was only doing one stop. And somehow my brain got tricked into believing I'm only doing one stop. I stopped telling myself, I got 15 stops to do. I got 20 stops to do. One day we did 40 in one day. I know. It take all your energy away from you, you know.
Yeah, right.
It is what it is, and you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, when things start to happen crazy, you just be like, okay, this too shall pass. Everything has a beginning and everything has an end. It's coming, though. Don't worry about it.
That's good, you know, because that's true, because when you think over the past, how many things came up that were supposed to be day and life enders, and they're in the past.
Yeah, they are. It ain't coming to stay.
No, it come to pass.
Yeah, it's not coming to stay. Nope. All this was some good stuff today. I mean, good, really good, and yummy for the tummy.
Well, you guys always get me hyped up listening to you. You know, because this is not an easy work. It's not easy work, and nobody wants to listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just hard to get people involved in doing what's good.
Well,
all they want to do is complain about what's bad, and you say, hey, let's do this to help. Well, no, that's a problem, too. You know, I'm like, really?
Right. Just help a little bit. Help a little bit, and it'll get better. Everybody just
get a little bit
of help.
Lots of treasure in heaven going to be earned from this, because this is God's work, you know. And, you know, this is God's work. It's satisfying. It's fulfilling. I feel like rather than me just watching the news and saying, somebody need to do something, or screaming out, won't somebody help the children? Well, get involved.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. This is the way I help.
Yeah. They running wild. You can stop it if we just all pitch in. Yeah.
I know, because they have parents somewhere. You know what I mean? They didn't just pop out. they had parents, and somebody's in charge.
They did.
Yeah.
Got to get them busy. Got to keep them busy. Yeah, you know, it's just a lot of love. You know, with, I see young fellas and young ladies walking down the street, you know. I just say hello, hey, hello, you know. And some of them speak and some of them don't. I think it's, they look at you like surprised, like, you speaking to me?
Exactly.
It's like, we have to get back to that. We have to get back to it because, you know,
right.
And people are scared of these young folks. They're scared of them, but you can't be scared because you're not going to change anything being scared.
I taught my wife a long time ago, when you see the ones we call thug life walking down the street,
mm-hmm.
speak to them.
Yeah.
Speak to them.
That's right.
You, because I'm telling you, it was one that lived down the street from me, and I treated him like a man. Even though he was a crackhead,
right.
I treated him like a man.
Right.
So one day
that's
I went
it.
To the drag strip, right, and I got, a significant amount of tools. And he was a crackhead. So
right.
I went to the drag strip, but I left my shed door wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be gone to the track from like 7, sometimes whatever race it might be, could end at 12 at night, and I'm getting home. And so one Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, I lost real quick, so I came home in the daylight. Here he is standing in my backyard. I'm ready to beat his brains out. Figured he finna tell me somebody stole everything in your shed. But he stood there and watched it to make sure nobody stole nothing.
Mm.
And I'm like, Jesus, wait a minute. He is the one who would steal the stuff. But but because of the way I treated him, he told me because of the way
right.
I treated him, he wouldn't steal my stuff. He watched
uh-huh.
it. And so I gave him $20. You know,
wow.
I was like, this is crazy.
He got blessed.
Crackhead. But it's treating him with respect.
That's
you know,
it.
And sometimes it lifts them up. Like my mother could go to the corner store. She didn't have to worry about the fellas on the corner. Not
there
because the
go.
Old brawl boys would have beat your brains out, but because
right.
they knew her and she knew them.
That's
my wife's
right.
auntie used to walk down the alley to the store. We would be back there playing basketball, and when we see Mose coming, everybody
mm-hmm.
back right up. Hi, Miss Mose. And she
mm-hmm.
knew all of us. And she walked right on through that crowd, ain't worried about nothing. And we looked out for them because it was
that's
they
right.
were the ones that treated us like people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
instead of them overall boys, because we had a name, them overall boys. Well, we earned it, but, you know, but
right.
they still treated
right.
us higher. They wanted us to come up higher, but we was the overall boys. We was definitely
yeah.
them overall boys. I ain't going to say we
weren't.
You
got a lot of boys in your family. You're going to have a reputation now.
I'm telling you. We definitely... And we were in groups,
uh-huh.
like it was Richard and John. They mostly hung together, and it was me and Christopher,
mm-hmm.
you know, born a year apart. And we was just like a little
mm.
Terrence.
Oh, you and him was Bobby and Terrence.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We couldn't tear up enough stuff. They used to call us Hecko and Jekyll.
Mm-hmm. You're right, though.
Mm-hmm. Treat them with respect,
you're
and they'll
right.
they'll be
mm-hmm.
respectful. And then the ones
they
who
will.
Not, you know, he throws a fire on their head, but still treat
mm.
everybody good. Like I'm amazed by God, our Father, how He treats everybody. And I have not met anybody He did not want to have mercy on. I haven't met a human being yet that He didn't want to have mercy on. I mean, Jesus would walk up to Barabbas. Funny, Barabbas' first name, most folks don't know. His name was
mm-hmm.
Jesus Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus would try to save Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
He would. He, you know, he didn't get the rich young ruler right, but he took a shot at him. And you know he was Jesus. He knew he wasn't coming in, but he still took the shot. So if Jesus will speak to anybody, even though he know they ain't getting saved, we don't know who is and who ain't. So we should speak to everybody.
Everybody, everybody. Bring that sense of community and neighborhood back. Yeah. You're right. I know my dad, somebody came in and stole his rototiller out of his garage, and they took it down to another young man's house that, you know, was kind of in a bad way. And he said, you taking that back. That's Mr. Clyde.
Exactly. I bought my son a bike, Gerald Jr., right? And I told him, make sure when you go in the store, lock it up. Well, he didn't lock it up. Mm-hmm. Somebody stole it. I just got on the phone, and because I know when that kind of stuff happening from hanging in the street, I know that they're going to sell it. So I called my boy Hendo, and I say, Hendo, look out for me, man. If you see this bike, let me know. And it wasn't too long before Hendo, one of his people had took it. So he put the bike in the truck and brought it back over here to the house. And he got it took
Hendo
again.
Hot Hendo. You didn't want it.
Don't like, dude, you walking. Okay. The next one you going back.
Look here for one bike. I know my brothers used to buy Terrence and them bikes almost every summer, and they would just like, they would destroy them, they would paint them, they'd be brand new, and they would paint them some old ghetto color, like gold. and then they would take
the
it somewhere
thing.
And just let somebody take it. So I was like, they just didn't want a bike, new bike. They wanted them to look a mess, and then they would like them.
Exactly. Like when I don't know what birthday it was, but my father brought me and my brother two brand new English racers from EJ Corvette. And so it was, my brother's birthday of mine. We both got them at the same time. So anyway, he was in August, I was in September. So anyway, we went over to the high school to get on the track and race around it with our friend Dwayne McKinney. And they beat me. So I got to the other end of the track and took my front fender off. I thought that would make me go faster. Boy, when my father saw that, when he saw that front fender gone, he's like, where's your fender?
Right.
I said, I took it off to go faster. Well, that was the last bike he bought. That was it. The rest he had to work, rake leaves, and buy. So that was it.
Right.
So you get one.
Bike.
Now I was the only one he gave a car to. And you know what I did? I took the car up on Jefferson after I got it running and traded it for another car. And when he saw the other car, he's like, where's the car I gave you? I'm like, oh, I traded it because I got some money and a new car. But he was kind of not happy that I traded it away like that. But I, you know, that's what I did. I bought them, fixed them, and sold them. Before I turned,
he taught you how to do all that.
Right, before I turned 30, I probably had 40 cars because I would get them, fix them, drive them for a minute, and then sell it and take some of the money, buy another one, and spend the rest. And I just kept doing that. I just kept doing it until, yeah, three or four. I was 15 and a half when I got my, remember back in the day you could be 15 and a half? You can't be a half today, but back in the day you could be 15. That's when I got my first car, a 1964 Dodge Polara with a 361 engine in it. I drove it once, and it never drove again.
Wow.
I pulled the motor out by hand. Took it all apart, and that's how I learned about the parts inside of a motor. Oh, it never ran again. It ended up in the junkyard. But my next 50 cars, most of my first ones, you drive, the wheel will fall off. Quite a few of them had no brakes. You drive around using the emergency brake, or you just hope real hard. I had so many. I had a car with wood paneling on the side, 69 Park Lane, had six speakers in the back window.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
You were a car man.
That was during the 70s, the early 70s, and we were going up to Ypsilanti, up to eastern Michigan, and hanging out on campus, and, yeah, that life. I wasn't in college, but I was at college. So, that life.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, yeah, hey, just treat people right. That's all. That's it. You never know what they say. You never know when you're entertaining an angel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, have you selected somebody for altar call tomorrow?
Tomorrow is youth.
That's
Saturday.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
On the first, we got a bunch. How many Saturdays in this month? Yeah,
I
we
think
got
it's five
Saturdays. Saturdays.
Both of my youth Saturdays. Yeah. Well, tell us what's going on tomorrow. Don't nobody have a if you don't have a church that you belong to, if you want to listen to our church, Run for Christ Ministry.
Yeah, Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon will be preaching Saturday and Sunday. She's got a twofer, and pray for her because, the scheduling fell that way. She preaches on Saturday, and then they naturally preach on Sundays, so her dates just came together. So she'll be preaching Saturday and Sunday, so keep her definitely in your prayers because sermons, they try to fight. They fight a lot, especially when you got two of them. And then one tries to take over the other one, and especially if it's two different ones. You know, if you preach in a series, that's one thing. But two different sermons, they try to be in at the same time. So pray for her.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's not wild. I'm going to get it together.
And then the books are in for those who will be attending the Monday night class. So see me Sunday at church to get your book for the class. That's coming up on April 1st at 6 p.m. It's called The Bible, God's Word to Us. One of the things that irks me the most is people who say the King James Bible is the original Bible. That's the Bible Jesus preached from on the Sermon on the Mount. That's the Bible that Peter preached from when he led 3,000 people to Christ. That's the Bible, the King James Bible, is the one Stephen used when he upbraided the Sanhedrin Council. Of course, none of those people I named used the King James Bible. What we're going to discover is the King James Bible was the very last Bible to be printed in 1611. But from William Tyndale's Bible or Erasmus's Hebrew Greek Bible, Thomas Bilney's Bible, John Collett. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that on that Monday night. We're going to look at the history of God's Word to us, the Bible, God's Word to us. Where did it come from? So April 1st is when that class started at 6 p.m.
On a Monday.
Yes, and all the information on that class can be found on our church website. Just go to rfcm.org, rfcm.org.
Yeah, I have to find my book. I know I have it somewhere, but I just cannot find it. I have to get out more than one, but it's not showing up, so I'm going to look a little longer than that. Now I'm going to have to get me another one.
I know, that's what I was telling the people, because a lot of people had purchased it when I first wrote it, and some found it and some haven't, so I got some extras.
Okay, well, I'm going to look at it. I don't find it before Sunday, I'm
going to
get one.
Okay.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Pastor. Oh, that was a good lesson, and sermon, and wow, it was true. Remain in me. Remain in me. Yeah.
and make
good
things happen.
God works. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's how you win.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because we're in the devil's world. He's the prince, the power of the air. He runs this nonsense. And so he only fears one thing. That's the word of God. He don't fear tears. Mm-hmm. He don't fear depression. He don't fear anxiety. He don't fear crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He don't fear none of that. He fears the word of God. When Jesus showed up, who is the literal spoken word of God, right? What did them demons do when they saw Jesus? They got scared to death. What did them demons do when they heard about Paul? They got scared to death. So if you roll with God's word, they can't do anything to you. They can throw you in jail, but God can send an angel to let you out. They can throw you in the jail, but the Lord tear the jail up and don't kill nobody. Everybody gets saved. So he can't do anything to you. What the devil wants is for us to move away from doing things according to God's revealed word. Then he knows he got us. It's like a person who talk a whole lot of crap around they friends, but then one day they by themselves. That's what the devil want to do, catch you by yourself without Jesus. And what I mean by that is you're not living according to his word. And then he could attack, and there you go. But don't forget this. When he scared the crap out of Peter, who was walking on water, okay, the devil scared the crap out of him, and Peter sank. But he wasn't crazy. He said, Lord, save me. And God saved. So when you mess it all up, the devil got you thinking. Don't forget that. Lord, save me.
All on. All right. Well, everything we've talked about and shared, it just lets us know that we still have a lot of work to do. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. Okay, we're not going to be on next Friday, but we'll be on the Friday after that. Okay? So we will see you then, same time, same place. All minds clear?
Yes, indeed.
Agree.
Okay. Okay, pray for one another. Everybody, God bless. We have work to do. Let's do it. Little girl, where you coming from? Where you going? Who told you how to walk? You walking around? Huh? You want what?